I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Let's talk about the Greens. This Richard Di Natale, he drives a petrol-guzzling four-wheel drive. It's a Ford Territory. What is it? Isn't the bike good enough for him or the Prius? I mean, well, this is a complete change for the Greens.
I don't think it's a complete change for the Greens.
No. On the surface, it is.
Exactly. One of the things about him is that he actually lives on a farm, and he lives on a farm outside Melbourne, and so he actually has a four-wheel drive. And when he was asked at the first press conference what he thought about possible changes to the fuel excise, he didn't give a definitive Christine Milne-like answer. He may have had that four-wheel drive in the back of his mind.
Yeah. What do you make of him? Is this a signal that the Greens are trying to move more mainstream? And what happened to Christine Milne? There's got to be something that went on there.
Well, yes. I mean, people have been talking about, oh, this is the way, you know, a smooth transition and so on. In fact, this was a very much, on the face of it, an internal putsch. Christine Milne decided she was going. There had been pressure on her for quite some time. People were seeing Adam Bandt, the member of the lower house, as the potential leader. He was the deputy leader. And then overnight, Christine Milne announces that she's going. There's a party room, and not only is the new leader not Adam Bandt, Adam Bandt is gone as deputy leader, and there are two joint leaders.
Yeah,
now,
in a party of 10 or 11 people. Yeah.
That's right. So it was one way of ensuring a vote. I mean, some of us were speculating that in the party room of 11, Christine Milne's vote would have swung things because everyone would have voted for themselves.
So, yeah.
Now, I don't think it's going to be a huge change in direction.
I don't know whether this is true, so please tell me. Adam Bandt, they say the reason probably he wasn't the leader is because he's in the lower house. His vote basically means nothing in the lower house. They are really a Senate party.
Now, it's interesting you make that, because when Bob Brown resigned, I specifically asked Bob Brown this question at Bob Brown's parting press conference about could the leader come from the lower house, and he said yes. That was certainly within, you know, the rules and the expectations of the Greens. And Adam Bandt became deputy leader. I think that it's got much more to do with the various cross currents of Greens internal politics than which house. The other issue is Senator Di Natale is speaking about being a mainstream party, and I think for the Greens, they've had success in garnering support amongst rural activists, particularly those against coal seam gas.
All right, put it this way, will we see photos in the Daily Telegraph of Richard Di Natale coming out of a Canberra restaurant with Malcolm Turnbull?
I don't think so.
Oh, come on, I thought it was a shift in that direction.
Look, some people will say, oh, this is going to have dramatic effect. You know, this might mean a whole new agenda for the government, a new opportunity. Certainly on the issue of pensions, the Greens have been asking for a whole review of superannuation and retirement incomes. Mm-hmm. And the suggestion is if they get that review, they may support some of the government's budget measures on the pensions. I think we'll wait and see on that. We haven't seen under Christine Milne any real indication of negotiation with the government.
We've just been talking with Noel Whittaker about superannuation. Isn't it funny how politicians, and I noticed the Liberals did it as well, they did it this week, where they talk about what the public want is certainty with their superannuation, and they always say that just as they tinker with it.
Just before they
change, that's both sides of Parliament.
It is. They say that because that is indeed what people want.
But they never give it to them.
But they're always changing it. It's a bit like Medicare originally. You know, they keep saying people just wanted, in the end, people just wanted, they didn't really care what was in Medicare. They just didn't want it changed again. And the long lead times in superannuation confuse people utterly. But the governments are always looking at it. Labor's looking at, you know, another tax. And so all the time there is uncertainty, and there will remain uncertainty because they're going to be looking at, both sides are looking at superannuation. They're going to be looking at superannuation.
They're desperate for money. They want the money.
That's right.
Now, Dennis, I've always held Peter Hartcher of the Sydney Morning Herald, the political editor of the Sydney Morning Herald, in high regard on Sky Television, which he features quite prominently.
We've had him as a guest.
And as a guest numerous times on our program, but I'm sorry, he really held his showed his true colours this week, and I don't understand why. I seriously don't. But he's come out with an alleged scoop that the Prime Minister snubbed the gay partner of a French diplomat on the tarmac and allegedly created a hissy fit from the French diplomat.
Australian diplomat in France.
Exactly. And then he went to great lengths in the Sydney Morning Herald, told us all about it. Then I heard him on an interview in the afternoon on this radio station saying that he'd moved on from it and someone else would handle it. And then it was an article in the Sydney Morning Herald the next day by someone else. To me, it looks like a terrible beat-up that he fabricated or heard from somewhere. He won't name his source, of course. What do you make of all of this?
I think that and there was a report on the television night, the television news the night before. It looked like a leak which is given out with a certain perspective. Now, as journalists, we're all given leaks. And, you know, we run with what we've got. But on this occasion, it is clear that there were a couple of agendas running. I know that Peter gave a couple of radio interviews, and I think that the theme was, of course, in the leak and in the story, and what was said later, was that Tony Abbott was a homophobe. Now, this was whose agenda they were running, we don't know, but it is clear.
That's not true, though. That's just simply not true.
It is simply not true.
Whether you like him or not, it's not true.
That's right. And not only that, he gets on very well with the Australian ambassador in France, Stephen Brady, and his partner. He had dinner with them before they went. He hosted a dinner for them before they went. And he had dinner with them in Paris.
Yeah. It was a protocol issue, wasn't it?
It was a look.
Somebody made a silly mistake.
There was an officious protocol decision taken. And the protocol decision is that if the Prime Minister, no matter who they are, is travelling without their partner, then the ambassador appears on the tarmac on their own without their partner. Now, we've had this issue before. When Julia Gillard was travelling with her unmarried partner, Tim Matheson, there was a big issue in Indonesia as to how to actually treat him on a protocol basis. Yeah. So these protocols pop up all the time. It seems that the later reports in the Sydney Morning Herald acknowledge that Tony Abbott knew nothing about it, had nothing to do with it.
But this just seemed personally venomous from Peter Hartcher.
Yeah, but also, I don't know about Peter Hartcher, but also, Dennis, had the partner had been a woman, and it had been his wife and was told, look, you'll have to wait in the car because the Prime Minister's travelling solo, it wouldn't have even raised a feather.
Now, I know that's precisely right, and I know people who were travelling, not the Prime Minister. I haven't spoken to them about it, but I spoke to other people who were on the trip. They said there was no tension, no tension at all after the arrival, and over the next 2 days, there was no apparent stamping of the foot. And as well, the relations between the ambassador, his partner, and the Prime Minister's party were cordial. Yep. There was no problem.
So it's a beat-up.
Of course it's a
beat-up. Look, at the moment, there do seem to be agendas running.